Yuengling became America's oldest brewery by staying true to the values it was founded on way back in 1829. Hard work, perseverance, and earning respect. We're still here today because we brew amber gold that tastes the way beer is supposed to taste. Yuengling Traditional Lager, from America's oldest brewery. Respect. It's earned. D.G. Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Please drink responsibly.
Called it macaroni. Welcome, patriots from around the world, the Patriot Power Hour on Patriot Broadcasting Network. I'm your humble host, or at least co-host, Ben Cochran, here on blogtalkradio.com. That's where we broadcast from, but Patriot Broadcasting Network, Patriot Power Hour, third episode. Super stoked. We got a lot to talk about. Bitcoin breaching 10,000 and running up to 11,000 and beyond, and then flash crashing and all types of chaos. We got a launch, North Korean missile launch, literally across the bow of Japan. We got new Fed chair coming in, Powell, and we had today Yellen talk. So, but before I just go on to a long, crazy monologue, I want to thank some of our listeners that have written in, that have shared our posts that we've made in the last two episodes. You know, we had a two-part pilot, let's say. Tonight, I really consider our first official high-quality. I'm really excited for this show. Now, we had a couple tech issues, but hopefully, knock on wood, nothing tonight. Tonight, we're going to bring the pain. But all of those that helped us get off the ground floor here at Patriot Broadcasting Network, salute you. And without further ado, though, before I take up all the hog up all the time, I got to remember, I'm not just here by myself. You know, I like to ramble. I like being a host by myself at times. However, I'm super stoked to be co-host with the one and only Future Dan. So let me bring him on. Future Dan, you there, sir?
Yeah, I am, Ben. Looking forward to it, brother. Let's have a good show.
Yeah, you got to stop me from rambling. You know, you got to help me out here because I'm used to the show all by myself. I mean, I have guests, of course, but most of the time I got to fill the air. So you got to chime in, knock me silly if you need to sometimes.
No sweat. We got so many different things we could talk about. What we ought to maybe do is just hit them rapid fire, just see where we end
Good idea.
Up.
Definitely, because sometimes we go real deep for like 10, 15 minutes on one topic, but this time I think we should just read some headlines and just start, like, talk about it for a minute each and just bounce back and forth. How about that?
Sure. What do you got? What's hot today?
All
Bitcoin.
Right.
Bitcoin sure did something.
Absolutely crazy. You know, geez. At Labor Day, it was 5,000. At the start of the year, it was around 1,000. It went from, just in the last couple of days, 9,000 to 10,000 to 11,000 to 11,300 or so before crashing to 8,500 before bouncing back up again to about 10,000 where it is now. Oh, and by the way, all the exchanges broke. I couldn't get into Coinbase and sell at the top, of course. I was trying to sell some, but that's neither here nor there. So that's my take on Bitcoin for the day.
Yeah, and just for the record, today is November 29th, 2017. So we're putting a marker down in time of where this cryptocurrency is. But I got a question for you. It seems obvious that if you're subscribed to the point of view that central banks have surrogates, perhaps in this country, surrogates, Citadel, whatnot, or perhaps like in Switzerland and Japan, just straight up buy the equities, what in the world's going to stop them from doing it to cryptocurrencies, Ben?
Absolutely nothing. And you got to remember, even though Bitcoin's gone on a crazy tear, it's still a tiny, 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 tiny percentage of a fraction of the financial system that they already manipulate fully. So my point is, yes, they could easily manipulate Bitcoin.
Yeah, but the difference is this is a flat-out escape route from fiat currency as it stands right now, one would think. And because of blockchain technology, it would be quite a cyber effort to corrupt it. At least that's what we think right now. So they could buy in, they could pump and dump, and catch some people, you know, burn some people over time. But if the system ever got wobbly, how high do you see Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency going?
It could go one of two ways. First off, what happened today was a classic pump and dump. I'm not saying that exchanges were involved, but the inability of the average person to get in and transact when it goes up and down such amount means somebody's making all that money, and that's a lot, real quick. However, that's just one aspect of this kind of equation, I guess, I'm foreseeing in my head right here. You also got to worry about all the momentum. So there is real flight from fiat currency to crypto. So it is a real event. But I also believe there is some manipulation, pump and dump. And it's just also, it is deregulated. So in a way, deregulated, crazy stuff happens, but it corrects itself. So there's all this good, all this bad, all this ugly. And that's why Bitcoin has been such an interesting topic over the years.
Yeah, it's not even deregulated. It's unregulated, right? It's free
yeah.
so far. My conspiratorial instincts... Yeah, my conspiratorial instincts would say if you got this system that's outside of official control, it's outside of the fiat system, and it is a definite pathway for large amounts of wealth to pretty rapidly flee in the event of official financial instability. And so it's a competitor to your cartel that you have running, and you don't quite know what to do with it, but it's a threat. Perhaps one thing that could be done is cause it to have its own bubbles and crashes, and put it on the radar of some kind of regular in some New York State office, some regulator in some New York State office that decides they can get Congress to come in and clamp down on it. I would speculate that it's a matter of time for something's engineered to create a scenario where there's enough people whining about how they lost their life savings on MSNBC in order to get, Elizabeth Warren and whoever else you may want to name to come down and put an end to the party and then fully regulate it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, these people could already have there could be that collapse, and there has been that type of 50, 60, 70, 80% collapse and no bounce back many times in Bitcoin history. So when it happens, okay, but the thing is, each time it does recover, it gains more popularity, more people get invested. Now it might be at that critical point where it would gain that public notoriety by itself. Let's say no manipulation, everything's fair, there's no such thing as bad intentions or anything bad. That still could be an issue. It's now such a big market cap, your average Joe is involved and might lose their house and get on MSNBC, and there's an excuse for government to come in. That's definitely true, just from the natural market reaction. And Bitcoin is almost like the perfect free market case study. It's just absolute craziness, but it continues to grow so much in the aggregate. But but there's just times of total panic and destruction, but then it bounces back 10 times as much. And I've watched markets, I'm pretty young, but I've watched markets for more than a decade very intently, and Bitcoin is pretty much like an entire year's worth of market movement. It can happen within a day in Bitcoin. It's absolutely, it's very intriguing. On the flip side, though, people, be careful. It could have a massive collapse. That's pretty much what I'm insinuating. But I hope the government doesn't try to come in, because it's just going to be wasted resources taxpayers got to pay for, and it ain't going to work anyway.
Yeah, I don't underestimate the power of the same establishment that brought us the Federal Reserve 104 years ago to find a way to, you know, lock down and centrally plan just one more place in our economy.
Hell no. And that's if they had good intentions. And I, hopefully everyone knows, I do not believe they have good intentions, at least for the average Joe Schmo like myself and future Dan. So, all right, enough Bitcoin. It's just, we talk about it every episode, essentially. But like you said, it's a good milestone. I go back and listen to shows I did 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. Bitcoin has tripled since then. And back then, I was still kind of worried that it was a Ponzi, not a Ponzi. Just, it's very overvalued, so be careful. But hey, it's still going, so who knows? Maybe buy, maybe. I'm not telling you what to do, but we'll keep the Bitcoin saga going. You got another topic to pull out of the hat?
Well, you know, it was the Fed chairwoman's last public testimony today in front of Congress, and the ability of that woman to have platitudes of, you know, potentially future, you know, the future ramifications of some of these platitudes could be immense. Some of the things she said today could be, you know, after a crash, could be pointed to just like they were with her predecessor, Bernanke, you know, talking about, you know, just the mealy mouth, sideways commentary where it could be interpreted in any way a congressperson wanted to hear it. It's amazing. It's amazing we even have an institution that has a leader that needs to go up and make things to, you know, say things to Congress are just weasel words. Did you catch any of that today, Ben?
The Fed speak weasel words by a private institution. Its facade is Federal Reserve. Federal is Federal Express. Someone much more intelligent said than me like 40 years ago or something, I think. I forgot who exactly, but one of the legends of end of Fed type stuff came up with that phrase. Maybe it was Ron Paul for all I remember. But the Federal Reserve is Federal as Federal Express. And yes, Federal Express is not federal government, if you didn't know. Don't mean to insult anybody. But, well, you know what else? Janet actually insulted us. This is an unintended but good segue. Well, I was preparing for this show a little bit today. I was reading what Janet said today. So I was working hard at kind of bust my butt, getting taxed, you know, 40%+ every year overall. So I didn't have time to listen to Janet's Fed speak live, even though I wanted to hear it. But I read the comments and read several synopses of what she had to say. And, you know, her, one of her big concerns was, oh, the national debt's a little too big now. Oh, you know, yeah. $20 trillion is very dangerous. Oh, thanks, Janet. Thanks for helping it grow by $8 trillion in like 9 years or something, literally. So, I mean, that was, just made me really angry, actually.
Yeah, the gall on her last appearance for Congress to point that out. You had multiple attempts for the last 6 years under the previous administration to point this out. Now it's concerned, right? Now the same week that the Congress is about to pass tax reform, lower corporate taxes, now it's a concern. I see. I see how that works.
She said that the Fed only has a blunt tool that cannot choose where the effect goes to. I mean, she put it in such elegant Fed speak, I'd have to literally read it. I don't have it right in front of me to read. But what she's trying to say is, hey, don't blame the Fed for extra income inequality from our heroic efforts over the last decade. That we have a blunt tool. We can't necessarily spread the wealth very fairly, meaning not just the 1%, but the 0.001%, you know. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, She actually, I usually don't get too angry, but when I was reading some of the stuff she was saying, I was actually getting pretty pissed because they're rubbing it in our face on her last time, in my opinion. So I never actually listened to her speak, though, because I can't listen to demons, but.
Yeah, you know, I can barely stay awake when I hear her talk, so. You know what? Good riddance. I don't know what this pal guy is going to be all about, but, you know, I think we both share the view that the music's going to stop someday. People's going to be,
yep.
you know, standing without a chair. So
they're bailing.
It wasn't her.
We talked about this in one of the earlier episodes. Yeah, exactly. We talked about this in one of the earlier episodes. They're bailing from the ship before it goes down, and she was pretty much laying blame on trying to, and that's the type of stuff that's going to take us out in the near future, at least the midterm, the debt, and all this other stuff she was talking about. And but she caused it, of course, but she's pointing it out right before she leaves. Great. Thanks a lot. So, all right, well, we got to go to break. We'll be back in here in a couple minutes, folks. Stick with us. Can't say anything else better than that. Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let me get this. I still don't have the audio board set up correctly. Okay, I got it. We'll be right back, folks. Here with Future Dan, owner, creator, founder of FutureDanger.com. Future Dan, real quick, give us a little bit of what's up at FutureDanger.com, what it's all about, how people can use it and find it.
Sure thing, Ben. Well, what we got is a news-based heat map dashboard where particular pieces of current news, usually within a 120-hour period, are categorized according to a threat that may emerge. Color-coded. So cooler colors mean less intense news. Hotter colors means things are happening. It's very particularized to a lot of different indicators. So when you come to the site, you'll see reds, you'll see oranges, maybe even a black indicator. That means it's happening. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world, Ben. It means watch out. The more of those colors you see at any one time, the more things are heating up. You'll hear news and other sources, and you'll say, what the heck is that about? That sounds like bad news. Come to Future Danger. See where it is in context. We keep archives. We can tell you if some of the news is being exaggerated. You'll also be able to see emerging threats that you can't see in a way anywhere else. See these things before they're cut. If you're inclined to take care of your own destiny, if you're a patient.
Atlas!
Three weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops.
Imagine where you will be. And it will be so. Hold the line. Stay with me. You find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled. For you are in Elysium. And you're already dead. Brothers. What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Patriot Ben back. No, that's not my nickname. Folks, I need a nickname. Listeners, give me a nickname. I can't give myself a nickname. My previous nickname has been revoked. Now I'm just Ben. Just regular old Ben Cochran, a citizen, a patriot. That's not too bad, but I need a nickname. So people, write in. Anyway, we are back. Let me get my co-host, Future Dan, on the radio. Future Dan, it's really up to you, I think, to come up with this nickname for me. I don't know. Hopefully the listeners will, though.
Maybe we should have a new one for each show.
That's not a bad idea. See which one sticks, right? Patriot Ben. I tried it. I hated it immediately. So that one's out.
Tonight's Bitcoin Ben. We'll work on next week. Next week.
Bitcoin Ben. All right. So, how's your Thanksgiving, man? You know, it's just last week was Thanksgiving. We did our show the night before, but I haven't talked to you since then.
Yeah, and I was very thankful for where we are as a country. And at the time, there was a lot less indicators on future danger. But, you know, that's the way things go. A week later, we start to see stuff heating up.
Yeah, it's like people kind of powered down. They shut down for a week, maybe a couple weeks before. But things are definitely popping in the financial sector. Also, stocks took a little bit of a hit today. Nothing too crazy, but it absolutely done nothing in the stock market in the last 3 months. It's gone up a little bit, for sure, but the volatility has been so low. So now it does seem like things are picking up. What other indicators you got? We've talked a lot about finance already, but what else, what other indicators you got going?
Well, we brought the potential for the war in Korea to restart from a low-level green status, regraded it yellow after North Korea revealed to the world and by the launch of a massive ICBM. They lofted that thing higher than the International Space Station and put it up there for 53 minutes. The Secretary of Defense, you know, quickly admitted that it can range the entire world. And the only real debate is whether it can currently carry a warhead and whether North Korea has figured out how to put a warhead on one, but certainly seems like a matter of time. We got major U.S. Air Force, South Korean Air Force exercises starting next week, scheduled to start next week, Vigilant Ace, code name, and that's going to involve thousands of warplanes in the South. And the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. today essentially called upon all nations to cut all ties with North Korea and basically laid a threat that, you know, if it comes to war, that entire North Korean regime, all leaders, they're going to be utterly destroyed. So no one's shooting at each other yet, and we haven't had any of those peripheral incidences where, you know, the Koreas every once in a while take shots, you know, naval and artillery, you know, they start pinking at each other. Occasionally there's casualties. That would be the next step up. But, you know, the way things are rolling right now, no one should be surprised if the next time North Korea does something like this, there aren't preemptive strikes and it could all go.
Oh, geez. So I was actually about to ask you, what would be next? Either just all of a sudden it's going to snap and go absolutely hog wild, or it will start plinking back and forth for a little while before maybe it snaps, or is it really hard to tell, but it's just so volatile, just anything might blow it up.
It could go fast. It could roll in slowly. What I don't think you would see, unlike, you know, when we went into Iraq both times, you know, came and took back Kuwait in the first Gulf War and then the second invasion, and even the, you know, when we went into Afghanistan, the buildup of troops is pretty obvious, and the diplomatic effort in the UN Security Council is typical. I mean, that was the Bush way of doing things, right? They were going to try to get, you know, an agreement out of the UN Security Council, and they did both times. This is a different story because it's an armistice. This thing, the rules don't apply. The war technically is still in existence. And
the buildup of troops and everything's already there, so they don't need to pre-stage. That's a whole other thing, too.
Yeah, U.S. Forces Korea, it's the 8th Army. It's been there for, you know, since the end of the First Korean War. The forces are in place, so, you know, could it go really fast? Yeah, and I think it all depends on the South Koreans, Republic of Korea. If they decided that was gonna that they had had enough, there's a lot of other players in the region, and you know, ourselves, Japan, China, who would you know, would just be reacting to the lead that South Korea gave us all. And
China,
don't
do
be surprised
you,
if
you think about. Do you think China would jump in? And don't you think China's helping out Korea? Korea can't, North Korea, that is, of course. There's no way they could develop this by themselves, right?
I think they have developed them by themselves. I mean, every country, I mean, we had scientists that figured it out. We did it in the 1930s and 40s. There's no reason to think that Korean scientists couldn't have figured it out on their own, too. The missile technology is suspicious, and probably they got help, but the actual weapons.
It's the heavy manufacturing, and as you know, I'm involved in some of this in the industry, and it's pretty darn hard to manufacture the proper rocket motors and stuff. So the Soviets, Chinese had to help them, at least smuggle them some certain parts or something. I don't know the exact details, but North Korea doesn't have the infrastructure to do it all. So they can do 90% maybe. That's my opinion.
I think we're past that point. I think North Korea, after last night's launch, has shown that they have a nuclear force. They launched it at night from a mobile launcher, too. So, I mean, they have a nuclear force now. It might be small, and it may not be as reliable. But going back to China, I think there's every reason to believe that the People's Liberation Army could get fed up with this. They might invade from the north on their own and seize that regime.
They should do that unless they think there'd be so much blowback or North Korea would launch at them. I don't know. But they should do that, in my opinion. It behooves them to do that.
It could be a mess in about 50 different directions in under 24 hours. That much I know.
Well, is that one of your indicators to get out of Dodge if that goes down? I mean, we probably should get the heck away from military or nuclear targets. I don't know. They would probably hit Japan or South Korea instead. But who knows if a local war turns into a regional or world nuclear war. Hopefully not, but you never know.
Yeah, and certainly a combination of events is what Future Danger is about. So if you see combining events, you may want to have plans in place and know what your moves are. But North Korean ICBM, you know, we're going to definitely try to shoot it down. I don't know how good we are with that technology yet. We've done it in tests, but those are highly controlled, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely highly controlled, very, you know, clean. And everybody knows the real world is not clean like a test. But who knows? Do you get into much conspiracies? To be honest, I haven't heard you talk too much conspiratorial stuff, more of hard analysis, which is good, especially if you're a news guy. But a lot of the folks, the crowd that I run with, not that I'm necessarily like them, big into conspiracies, they would definitely say that North Korea is just a total distraction, puppet. This is fear-mongering to build the military-industrial complex. This is, you know, a puppet maybe out of control, but still a puppet. I mean, what do you think about that? Or do you believe 100% or somewhere in between?
If you want to bring discussions into the Middle East and ask me the same question, my views would be more aligned with the crowd you run with, because I've seen evidence of things like ISIS being, you know, essentially created by the Saudis with a wink and a nod from the previous administration here. But the North Korean situation, I mean, it's a bloody, murderous communist regime, one of the last ones on Earth. And although, you know, all the, you know,
left over.
And there's no doubt that, you know, the missile makers and the aircraft makers certainly will benefit from any kind of heated tensions. That, I mean, they'll be able to sell product all around the Pacific Rim in response to this. Japan's conventionally rearming, which is another indicator we watch for, you know, the rising sun. You know, they're a democracy now and they're, you know, aligned with us now, but I don't think naturally if push came to shove, they wouldn't take care of themselves first, and it's something to watch. Not to say they'd attack us ever, but if they started to get belligerent with China or Russia, we could get drawn in, right? But I do think that the Korean situation is more exactly what it appears like. But they have a nuclear force now, and no two countries with nuclear weapons have ever fought each other. Take that in consideration.
All right, and some of the folks that I run with at times, at the most extreme, would even say nuclear weapons aren't real and the Earth is flat. And there are many conspiracies I believe, many I do not, and some that I'm in between. Not sure about those ones though, but a very interesting take. All right, we are gonna go to commercial real quick, but we got like about 20 seconds till the audio rolls. Tell us a little bit about what we're doing here on Patriot Broadcasting Network and where people can find us.
Sure thing, Ben. Well, we just published a new feature on Future Danger. We're going to archive every one of these shows. We're going to have them available for download, MP3, and a link to the show archive, and it'll be available. So we're going to be pushing that out on social media starting this coming week real hard, let people find it, come back and listen to the shows if you're interested. But more importantly, you and I can just lay down a record where, you know, we'll be able to come back and clip highlights weeks and months and years from now and say, hey, we talked about this. We saw this coming.
Yep.
That's going to be the real rich part of it.
Definitely. Look forward to it. All right. Well, we'll be back, everybody. Stick with us. This is Patriot Ben signing off.
In Fight Club, the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, the slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off.
Quite transparent. At least I will be. I can't help myself. One thing I love is my video game music. And one thing Blog Talk Radio won't let us do is play copyrighted music. So you're going to hear a lot of good old school retro video game music. And we're going to have contests. Because I did this on my other show. And guess who won that contest? One and only Future Dan, which I'm going to bring back. Well, we're going to have contests. I got one listener that wrote in. We had two that wrote in last week for questions. I got one we'll get to here later in the hour. And we're at the bottom of the hour. We got another half hour or 25, 26 minutes to go. But Future Dan, I'm excited to build up the show and then build up the network beyond that. And, man, we're going to have a good time. And people should help us out, not even financially. Just call in, write in. Post our stuff. If you want to be a host, actually, we're looking for hosts too. So, hey, open invite, right, man?
Absolutely. And what I would offer is anybody that's got any kind of product or service that aligns with what we're talking about here, help people get ready to do what needs to be done if conditions warrant. What do you say, Ben? Let's get some free advertising on our breaks for the first, maybe month's worth free advertising. Anybody who's listening and wants to get it in there. Has to be self-recorded, self-produced. Send us a clip, and we'll run it.
That's perfect. Exactly. That's something I should have thought of myself, but that's why you're here, to help come up with great stuff that I never did. Perfect idea. How about first three people or businesses, and this could go for a month or two. Hopefully we'll get one sooner rather than later. But heck, even if you don't have the money or don't want to ever pay, we'll give you 1 month of free advertising for your Facebook page, your blog, your whatever. Well, as long as it's related to fighting the good fight. I don't think I want people here selling Beanie Babies or something, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's capitalism. Let them do what they want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Preparedness products and services are what I really like to align with.
That's
future
the
danger.
One, exactly, with the theme.
Yeah.
But what about anyone? So the first three, that is our guarantee to you. So good. I love that idea. Thank you, sir.
So I want to bring a point to you, Ben, and see if economically, your economic philosophy lines up where I'm at. Right now in the U.S. Senate, they're debating a tax reduction bill. The House has already passed one. The president spoke in Missouri today about wanting to see it come to the floor of the Senate, get a vote, go to conference, and produce this thing in the month of December 2017. And I'm well aware of your views on how artificial the Western financial system has become. However, from supply side or roots. I was a young man, I was a kid when Ronald Reagan was elected, and I grew up with a certain outlook. And I've been telling a lot of people that the current president really not hard to take his, just come into the White House and take the federal government's boot off of the neck of the American economy, and it'll grow. And it has. 10 months, we're getting quarters of 3.5%. Growth and hadn't really done anything yet, right? So as an old time supply side, free market, Austrian economic oriented individual who predicted he'd be able to do that, what does this mean for that $20 trillion federal debt? If you could rein in spending, which I know Everybody ought to scoff at. The temptation to, just continue to spend is completely strong. But let's just say for a moment, you could hold the line, and you could get to the point where tax revenues, you walk back on the Laffer curve to the point where lower taxes mean higher growth, which actually increases revenues in 3, 4, 5, 6 years, assuming an eight-year presidency. Could we not be in a place that walks us back from, a financial cliff that puts so much actual wealth into the system that we don't actually have to worry about the banking system collapsing again? That does, credit markets aren't, likely to freeze overnight, at least temporarily, like for a decade. Could we not come back from the brink with supply side economics?
Well, first off, I would have to preface it by saying I'd have to literally look at the math and the final plan, and I could judge I thought it would actually help the economy and give good tax breaks to the folks that need it more, and that will spend that money immediately, and that's how you grow the economy. So I hope it is. I hope it gets passed. I personally, it looks like, at least the last iteration I saw of it, I would save some money. But my tax would be lowered a little bit, a pittance compared to all the tax I get hit with from Medicare, Social Security, state income, sales tax, property tax, cell phone tax, airplane tax, Uber tax. Uber's a double company, by the way. The thing is, though, yes, if it, let's say it is, let's say Trump's plan is good and passes. Sounds like that's not reasonable, but I hope it does. And if it does pass, then I really will dig into it, and hopefully I can do a whole bit on the show about it, right? But I don't really get too deep into the weeds on these things because they change so much and they all fail anyway. I don't have time to waste. But, yes, perhaps it could, but the thing is, it's just the U.S. that might be kind of get that respite. But all it takes is Europe's economy to collapse or Japan's economy to collapse, those two in particular, and dragging the U.S. down with it no matter what. And that's the bigger picture. So we might be able to rearrange a little bit better than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I'm not so pessimistic that it won't help some of us prepare more if we can extend it a little bit longer, even just a few months. Jeez. But overall, the black hole of debt is just way too big, unfortunately, to fix it this time. We've got to go through it to fix it, in my opinion.
Yeah, you would say it was postponing the inevitable. I think that you could grow for a decade easily and postpone that for a large amount of the lives of current Americans. But if the spending habits, if you could only couple it with a legitimate widespread fear of what that level of debt means, I think you could pay down the debt with enough growth. But you and I have both been on this planet long enough to know that, the temptation in Washington, D.C. to just continue to spend, it won't disappear. The whole, that river was crossed a century ago where people learned, politicians learned that they could just, buy votes by, spending out of the U.S. Treasury. But I do think that if this tax package passes, even if it's psychological, even if the numbers don't even make sense, the sentiment to grow, to try to start businesses is gonna boom us for a while. And in the near term, it makes things a lot safer.
Yeah, definitely. I'm hopeful that will or something will. Any boat in a storm any harbor in a storm. but I guess I'm just look so much at the big picture. I see the Western financial system essentially built upon Europe, London, which are separate mostly. So pretty much Paris and Germany, France and Germany, but Paris and Frankfurt is the financial center as one. London as pretty much the head, but New York is kind of the heart. Maybe, and then you got Tokyo. So if any of those four collapses, the other three collapse. So if U.S., so if we might, well, if we start getting 6% GDP and our deficit was gone, and let's say it was that great of a tax cut and sentiment went, well, great. But if Japan blows up, or if Europe blows up, or if London blows up, it won't matter, to be honest. So, but I mean, hey, I'm up for at least trying for sure.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for Austrian School of Economics, and I don't underestimate the power of free economies to grow our way out of these problems. But even that said, with the type of growth we've seen and low unemployment we've seen this year, every once in a while, future danger, we're catching column three economic indicators that frightening number of stores that are closing. Brick and mortars that are shutting down, the amount of, personal debt that's being taken on, there's always something popping up, even at a low level that, just is out there potentially haunting us. So, we watch.
Well, people are waking up. So if we can get a better environment and we can extend it for a little longer, or at least keep it where it is for a little bit longer, if not improve, that's worth it. So I definitely, I hope, fingers crossed. I personally would make some more money. I would hope, have less of my money taken from me if this plan goes through. And I would use those funds for good. And I know there's a lot of people out there that would too. So I hope they give some tax relief. That's just not, that's some short-term relief for sure. I I misplaced the listener question. I totally failed. I'm going to try to find it. I kind of remember what it was, but what's the best way for folks to reach out to you? And then I'll have, you know, tell best way to reach out to me. And again, we're looking for people that might want to be guests. We're looking for people who want a month of free advertising. And if you want beyond that, very nominal fee. We'd probably give you practically for free for several months after that, especially to our first customer or person or two that ran some commercials. But where can folks reach out to you in case they want to, you know, potentially come on the show or talk to you about different things?
Absolutely, Ben. So three main channels. I'm at info@futuredanger.com. That comes directly to me. I'm also at FutureDanger6 on Twitter. And there's another way. If you spot news that you think matches up to an indicator on Future Danger that is not currently something we're tracking, all the indicators that are cold, that there's no evidence of, they lay lower on the homepage. When you go to FutureDanger.com, they're all blue, nice, cool, safe color. You spot something in there and you say, hey, wait a minute, that's happening. I got news of that. Future Dan, you're missing that right now. Or you got a particular report that's not in the mainstream news. Click on the little airplane button, little paper airplane button, send a report. We'll check it out. If it makes sense, we'll put it right up there. We got a lot of people that do that regularly at Future Danger. So the listeners of Patriot Power Hour are certainly invited to do it too.
And that's awesome for sure. You know, people out there listening, we are definitely not trying to scam you to buy some supplements. I'm not doing a radio show for that purpose. We are not doing a radio show to get notorious or get famous or infamous or this, that, and the other thing. We're really here trying to bring issues to people, educate people, but more importantly, find people to share their stories and stuff. I've been on radio for more than 4 years now. And Future Dan, I know you've been in all types of activism and definitely your website you've done for several years. So we're just looking to get the ball rolling and open invitation to all you out there. Hit me up, dethronethebanksters.com is probably the best place to find all my contact information. Just look up Dethrone the Banksters, or if you're listening to this on podcast, you probably have the links to our websites right in front of you. So we won't belabor the point. We'll go to a real quick commercial interlude and be back to finish the show. But hey, we need some commercials to fill our space, so hit us up, right, Future Dan? We need some material, so people, hit us up.
Replace Brad Pitt in the Fight Club. I love it, but let's hear from some folks that got some products that our listeners can use.
Yes, sir. And actually, folks, we do have two people that are going to be advertising with us, so we do actually already have a couple, but they're longtime advertisers and friends of Future Dan. So we're looking for some new folks for sure. Again, not even looking to make money off this, just to get your message out there. So, all right, well, we'll be back after a real quick interlude. And stick with us, Patriot Power Hour. We'll be back. Thank you. Ben Cochran. It's one of my favorite intro songs of all time. Hey, let me get Future Dan's idea or thought on this. Future Dan, you there?
I am.
How was that? That was good. I like that. I got a good. Don't spoil it. Don't talk about the interlude music we had, because I was born in the 80s, but you were truly a child of the 80s. Therefore, very likely you know what song that was I was playing before the Bulls intro music. And I think the first person that writes in and gives us the right answer deserves a prize. What do you think?
They do. They do. A Dethrone the Banksters t-shirt would be perfect.
Dethrone the Banksters with a picture of the Fed. We're going to make some real-life merchandise for sure. Dethrone the Banksters, Patriot Power Hour. We're actually real serious about this stuff, so I'm totally stoked. So, hey, if anyone out there, if you're going to contact us anyway, or if you just want to get a prize, hit us up. If you know, name that tune. Name that 80s movie tune. all right, we got about 5 minutes left. Do you have any other major topics? We got about 7 minutes left. We got any other major topics you really wanted to hit on tonight?
I do. I want to talk about the deep state. I want to talk about how it's real, and it's right in front of our eyes tonight, Ben.
All right. Awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right before we got ready to prep for this show this evening, there was a Fox News report about how the House Intel Committee investigators of the Russia-Trump GPS fusion dirty dossier, that whole affair, right?
Yeah.
There's House Intel investigators that have the chairman of the House Intel Committee and presumably most of the majority members on that committee getting ready to walk up to the Speaker of the House and bring contempt of Congress charges against the Department of Justice and the FBI for not producing documents that have been subpoenaed since summer, since June or July, and have the FBI is failing to produce to Congress. Think about it. Think about this. We have two branches of our government, our federal government, two constitutional branches with duly elected political leaders. Obviously, every congressman qualifies as that. And then the President of the United States. And then appointed political leaders in the form of the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who was, confirmed by the United States Senate, are properly elected, and their surrogates who are appointed through, constitutionally defined mechanisms. None of them. They're all the same party, too. They cannot control pieces of that FBI right now. The FBI is out of the control officials in our federal government. Think about it. It's happening.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's just more evidence right in our face. I personally figured this out a while ago. I know you did, too. But, I mean, when it keeps slapping you in the face over and over, a stark reminder. I know the government's very slow at producing things, but this is absolutely unbelievable, inexcusable. It's not like they're producing a form from 40 years ago that had to do with a parking space in, somewhere in D.C. that they had to go find and no one wanted to go do it. It's just an email that never got answered. This is a little bit different. I work in a very hectic corporate office, okay? You know when something's going down and you got to focus on that and make it happen. I'm pretty sure it's not just incompetence or they don't know this is important. They need to provide this data. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I'm pretty sure that there's corrupt people that were fully aligned with this farce that they call the Trump-Russia dossier. And their holdovers from previous regimes. And think about it. What Trump said to Jeb Bush in those debates shows you exactly how he orients towards the family dynasty that preceded the previous administration. We got layers of people that came in and became beholden to either the Bush side of the Republican Party or the Democrat Party who are you know, they're insubordinate. They aren't obeying, you know, Congress with subpoenas. These and the scary part is, who is it? It's supposed to be the premier law enforcement agency of the country. That's dangerous. I'm carrying this under the indicator judicial system is distrusted on future danger at graded level red, you know, just short of what would put that into crisis. I think that there's a large swath of Americans who are simply oblivious to this, but if you're paying attention, you're living in a country that has state secret police that do whatever the hell they want. That's dangerous. That's not what the American Republic's supposed to be.
No, hell no. Like I said, that's like about one of the biggest danger flashing signs you can get before it really falls into draconian, total authoritarian disaster, which we're on the precipice of. But it's unbelievable. I don't know. Yeah, people have no idea. They still just think Russia hacked the election or something, you know.
And like we talked about earlier, if supply side economics can be brought to bear, can you walk away from the edge of economic crisis? Same thing is hanging out there in the balance, Ben. Can this White House and this Congress gain control of these deep state elements or not? If they can figure out how to do it, we can walk away from real trouble. But if they can't, this is the road to ruin for a Democratic Republic.
Well, this December, a lot of stuff's supposed to happen, whether the tax bill or other legislation as well. It's November 29th. Next time we'll be on air will be December. We'll see what happens. I ain't expecting much, but we'll hope for the best. Future Dan, have a great rest of the week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Folks, go check out futuredanger.com. That's his site. You can find out how to contact him. Myself, Ben Cochran, thethronetobanksters.com. Catch you later, sir.
Hold the line. Stay with me.
Hold the line.
Insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
If you look forward to Black Friday like a little kid on Christmas Eve, then you'll want to get to the Jeep Black Friday sales event for great deals all month long on the full line of Jeep vehicles like Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and the highly capable Cherokee, Compass, and Renegade. But the best part is going to be the ride to Grandma's house, over the river, through the woods, you get the idea. Come in now for the perfect Jeep brand vehicle. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.